finance and economics.
Chinese equities. In the stocks. China is distorting its capital markets by trying to prop up share prices.
Investors in China's stock market have been doing handsomely this year. The Shanghai Composite Index has risen by 12% from a multi-year low in February, notwithstanding a recent drop. Equity analysts and state media alike are cheering. For Xi Jinping, China's leader, the rally was a relief since retail investors own at least 80% of the market. A previous rout hurt them badly, adding to anxieties about the country's future. To many, the recovery reflected good governance and fortune. Part of the rally came from the purchase of tens of billions of dollars worth of shares by the National Team, a group of state-owned institutions that ride to the rescue when China's markets wobble. For Mr. Xi, the bill may appear worth it, but the state has also tinkered with the market in other, more destructive ways. In an effort to boost share prices, it has put an end to a bonanza in initial public offerings, or IPOs. With fewer exit opportunities for private investors, state capital has become more dominant. The danger is that these distortions will crimp the growth of China's most innovative firms. Over the past decade, Mr. Xi has ensured that financial markets are guided as much by government policy as by price signals and animal spirits. He has redirected capital from once frothy sectors such as consumer internet services and fintech and into favored industries such as chip-making, AI, and high-end manufacturing. Thousands of state funds have invested in these areas, becoming a major force in Chinese venture capital, or VC, and private equity. For a time, public markets thrived under Mr. Xi. In 2019, he established a specific market for tech shares called Star. 2 years later, he launched a new stock exchange in Beijing for small firms. To keep the capital flowing, regulators made it easier for companies to list. By 2022, China was host to the world's hottest IPO market, with companies raising 587 billion yuan, that's $81 billion, over the course of the year. But all this has now come to a halt. China's stock markets began falling in the second half of 2023, then plunged in early 2024. That led regulators to start stressing the importance of an investor-friendly market. In practice, this has meant allowing far fewer IPOs, in the hope that liquidity supports the prices of existing shares rather than those of new ones. Just 5 Chinese companies listed on domestic bourses in April, down from 35 in April 2023. The IPO market raised 80% less capital in the first 4 months of 2024 than in the same period the previous year. Those firms that do list face fierce scrutiny. On top of on-site inspections, regulators now review companies' past business deals and trawl through executives' bank accounts, according to Reuters, a news agency. Faced with this, at least 80 companies withdrew their IPO applications in the first quarter of 2024. The knock-on effects move down the entire chain of capital allocation. Now that IPOs are harder, investors in unlisted firms have fewer exit options. Accordingly, the value of sales by Chinese private equity investors plunged from $89 billion in 2022 to just $46 billion in 2023. The resulting fall in valuations has made fundraising harder and investors warier of deploying their capital. Meanwhile, state-backed funds, once intended to bring together the invisible hand and government policy, now dominate markets. One state investment manager says private capital has retreated as exit options have vanished, while state capital continues to flow. Such investors are still sensitive to losses, but without private backers demanding quick returns, can wait longer to get their money back. If venture capital funds want to survive, they have to find a way to get money from local governments, concluded Robert Wu, a Chinese investor, in a recent blog post. But the objectives of private and state capital are not aligned. Officials may be seeking not just returns, but employment or tax revenues for their region. Moreover, state funds have onerous requirements and endless paperwork for any recipients of their cash. Mr. Wu writes that VC funds ought to treat startups as clients, since they are their source of growth. Once state money is involved, though, the startups must serve their investors. The industry's logic has been completely subverted. Another problem, though Mr. Xi may call it a success, is an increased focus on state-picked industries. Restrictions on IPOs have led many to believe that only firms advancing government policy will be allowed to list. And so investors are honing in on favoured areas such as flying taxis, near-space industries and machine-brain interfaces, dubbed new productive forces by Mr. Xi, who hopes these industries will drive economic growth. The effect on China's innovation hotspots has been profound. A recent ranking by PitchBook, a financial database, found that Hefei, a city in China's dusty hinterland, has hosted the fastest-growing startup ecosystem in the world for the past 6 years. Industries ranging from biotech to semiconductors and artificial intelligence have sprung up in this unlikely place, hundreds of kilometers from established hubs such as Shanghai and Hangzhou. But on one front, Hefei scores dead last. The number of times investors have successfully sold their stakes. VC firms made 735 investments in companies there between 2017 and 2023, but just 23 exits. It is not just Hefei. Of the 10 cities at the bottom of PitchBook's exit ranking, 8 were Chinese. As China's economic growth decelerates and IPOs become ever harder, the valuations of companies in these places look particularly vulnerable, as do their funding prospects. Mr. Xi is trying to inspire the world's most innovative companies while also keeping private investors and average punters happy. But in the end, someone must lose.